know there's some here who weren't here before, but we have some extra ones tonight, so I appreciate you coming. Before we open the Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your Word, and we just pray that as I speak, that the things that I say would be rightly dividing the Word, that it might not be my thoughts, but it would be your thoughts and the things that you've laid upon my heart. Help me speak with clarity and might not to be misunderstood in what I say. May Jesus Christ receive all the glory. It's in his name. Amen. Subject that the Lord laid on my heart is something that I had in Sunday school class probably a month ago, and it spoke to my heart. It's a subject that I needed, and I think every one of you need, and it has to do with self-discipline in our life. And I know some of you are taking the Financial Peace University course on money management, and you know that we over and over that he stressed the fact that we're to be disciplined in our money, the things, our financial aspects, that we're to allow and to account for each dollar that we spend that comes in. We know where it's going. And that's a discipline that we have to set up so that we know exactly where we're going and what's happening in our life. We're going to look at different aspects of our life in that perspective tonight. But to begin, I want to just tell you what discipline, give you a definition that has stuck with me since the seventh grade. I had a teacher who, if you misbehaved, this is what you had to write. And I remembered it, so you know that gives you a clue. But it was, discipline is the training that makes punishment unnecessary. And I've never forgot that. It's instruction. Discipline could be punishment. It could be part of it. But discipline is to avoid punishment. When we come into this world, every child that's born into this world, from the day they come home from the hospital, discipline, you need to begin some form of discipline. Because when we come into this world, we have a selfish motive, desire of the flesh to please ourselves, and we'll go to any expense to do so. And so a child and children, as they grow up, they have to be taught externally. In other words, they have a teacher or they have a parent who is going to instruct them in areas of their life so that when they grow up later in life, the things that they have learned, if they've been taught and learned, that they won't have to go through this punishment or the consequences of not being disciplined in their life. And I know that, as I said, children, if you take a young child and you let them ask them every day, what do you want for breakfast, and you have cake and you have a nutritional breakfast, they're going to pick cake every time, most of them, because they're going to do what they like and what satisfies them. The same way with if they want to do their homework. Kids want to play. They don't want to watch TV. They don't want to do their homework. So we have to teach them to allot our time, to use our time wisely, because we have many things to do, and so we have to allot time for each thing. We can't allow things that just please us to control our every being. So we have external things as we're young people, even brushing your teeth. We have to teach children to brush their teeth, take a bath. Children don't like to take a bath. If you didn't tell them to, they probably would never take a bath. So that's an area of discipline that we train them so that later on in life, they know how to control parts of their life with discipline. And then as we grow up, especially as believers, there's an internal, I call it an internal discipline. If we've learned from childhood certain disciplines, how to control things in our life in perspective, then as we grow older, we don't have adults necessarily teaching us how to do it. It's the Word of God. The Word of God should be what motivates us to discipline ourselves, in other words, to judge and examine ourselves by the Word of God, not by an adult. That's early in life to kind of teach us lessons so that later in life we can apply the things that we learn from the Word of God. So the first scripture I had was 2 Timothy 3:16, if you want to turn to it. We're very familiar. All these scriptures are very familiar. But remember, we're training, trying to train ourselves so that punishment is unnecessary or consequences, those bad consequences don't follow. And that's what the Word of God, if we don't follow the Word of God, we're going to pay a price, just like with the law. If we break the law, the police or the judges are going to sentence us to time. We're going to wind up in jail if we don't obey the laws. The Word of God, we must obey it, but we are to examine ourselves and judge ourselves according to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching. That tells us what is right. We learn what is right from doctrine, teaching, from the Word of God. For reproof, what's wrong. For correction, how to make it right. And then instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right. So we see that from the Word of God, we can is the way we're to discipline ourselves in all areas of our life. It's the Word of God. We filter our life, everything that comes into our life, by the Word of God. And allow that to help us make our decisions. Not allow our flesh. We're going to see that the flesh is going to always want to do what pleases itself, not what pleases God. Only when the Spirit works in us and we follow the Word of God do we please God. Four areas of discipline in our life that I want to talk about tonight that we need to, that comes up. And one of them is discipline of our time, our money, our desires and thoughts, and then our actions. These are areas in our life that we have to be constantly aware that we're to be disciplined in. We're to follow the Word of God because the flesh is going to cause us to go the wrong way. We were brought up in this world how to deal with problems, and our natural reaction, if we don't allow the Spirit of God to work with the Word of God, we tend to want to follow. Our flesh wants to follow the pattern of the world, the way everybody else does things. The Word of God does not teach that. And so that's very important. The first one is time. We're, first of all, to discipline ourselves to make good use of our time. We're told in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, buying up or taking every advantage of time that we have. We cannot recover time. Time is one of those things. Now, with our houses, if our house were to burn down, we were to lose our job, we can replace those things. They can replace. But time, once time has passed by, it can never be gone through again. It's over. So we have to, every moment of our day, we've got to make sure that we don't spend our time doing things that's not pleasing to God. It might be that we're involved in sports or we're watching TV a whole lot of Internet. We're on the Internet. All of these things, there's a place for all of them. But if we allow them to control our life and we spend more time than we should, then it becomes a problem. So we're to use our time because we can't. Our time is our most valuable thing that we have because we only allotted so much time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's all we have. So if we waste it, we can't recoup it. We can't go back and capture it again. It's gone forever. So we redeem the time, make full use of it. Then we have to discipline ourselves to make time for prayer and studying God's Word. We don't just haphazardly study God's Word. In Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. So we see in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly. Wasn't a hit and miss, today, off today, on tomorrow, but it was a constant thing that they did. It's very hard sometimes, I know in my own life, is you try to set aside a time to study. Even today, while I was preparing for this, the phone rings. The phone's constantly ringing. Somebody rings the doorbell. Things happen, and you get distracted. And first thing you know, you're off doing something else, and you're away from what you originally started out to study. You done got sidetracked. So we have to make sure and discipline ourselves that doesn't happen. We've got to be aware that we need to spend time daily in prayer and studying God's Word and not just haphazard. The same way in fellowship and breaking the bread here on Sunday morning. It's not a hit and miss thing. It's something that we should desire and discipline ourselves, because we have to make time for these things, because otherwise something else will take our time and away from them. Number three on the time is, life is short and uncertain. Live as though each day is your last day, because one day it will be. So if we live, if when we get up in the morning, we knew that that was the last day we were going to be on this earth, what would we do? How would we treat our time differently than we would than we did today? Would we squander it away? Or would we be very much aware of what we were doing and make sure that what we did was counting for Christ, or would we waste it on other things? And so this is something, as I mentioned, is self-discipline is something we have to constantly make ourselves aware of, that we don't fall into the trap of thinking that I'll do it tomorrow, because tomorrow may not come for us. Short, and I talked to somebody the other day, if we live to be 90 or 100 years old, life is still short. In spite of eternity, life is short. And by the time you figure the amount of hours you spend sleeping, eating, and working, you don't have a lot of time left. So if we waste it, then we can't recoup it. So we have to make sure that we do things in perspective, in light of that life is short and time is valuable. And number four under time is, don't allow the cares of the world to draw our attention away from Christ or our focus in life. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, if you'll turn to that. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him or enlisted him to be a soldier. Endure hardness, that means suffering. A soldier that goes into battle or goes into a war has to have his mind focused on what he's doing. He can't have his mind thinking about other things at home, things that's going on at home. Of course, he's interested, and it's not that he doesn't care, but his total focus has to be on what he's doing. He gives up, just like it says here that he endures hardness. He gives up the comfort of a bed, his family, food, sitting at a table with his family. He goes through hardships because he's been called to a job to do. And he has his mind set. He wants to do that the best he can because he wants to please the one who's called him. That's the way we should be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us into a war or a battle. We're at a Christian warfare, and we've been called. We're to be like these soldiers. We're not to be entangled with the affairs of the world. In other words, don't get so involved in our jobs and other things, jobs, our houses, our possessions, that we've drawn away, our hearts and our mind are drawn away, that we forget we're in a battle. And because if a soldier does not keep focused, he'll die. It's his destruction. So we see that in Iraq. A soldier has to have his mind constantly on what he's doing in order to fight the fight. And so that's what we're to do, keep our eyes focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and not be involved, entangled with the affairs of this life. And we're talking about into a deep relationship with things, because things will cause us to have our hearts and minds pulled away from the Lord. So our time is important. We must discipline our time in those four areas that I just mentioned. Then we go to money. And this came out because of the classes that's been going on, but yet that is one area of life that we are faced with, that we have to discipline ourselves. Just like children, we have to teach our children that money, we shouldn't allow money to control us. We have to control it. And a child, like you, when I take my child or my grandkids to Walmart or somewhere and they want to buy everything, every thing they see they want, we have to discipline our children that we don't get everything, buy everything they want every time. They have to grow up and learning that we do without sometimes. That's good for them to learn that. That's a discipline that's not something that we normally feel. We have a desire to want more. We always do. But yet, we're told in the scriptures that that should not be the case. Make sure that money is not your master. 1 Timothy 6:10. Very familiar scripture. In other words, our life, what we do, should not be controlled by money because of money, what we do. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, as their desire, they have erred from the faith. It's drawn them away, caused them to fall from the faith and done things that they would not have done. It will cause people to covet. It will cause all kinds of problems and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So we see the result of the love of money will cause you to err from the faith and bring many sorrows. So we're not to covet after money, the things that money would buy. We all need money to live by. But when it talks about the love of money, the desire that we will do anything we can to make the money to buy things that we really don't need is what it boils down to. So we don't want money to be our master, our focus in life as such. And then we have to remember, discipline ourselves, remember that we're stewards of God's provisions. In other words, when you get your paycheck, we have to discipline ourselves. Remember, we have a tendency to say, I earned this. This is my money. I'll do what I want to with it. But in essence, it's from God. God has given you the ability. He's given you the health to make that money, to earn that money. And you're responsible for how you spend it. That's why it's very important that we discipline ourselves in our financial area. And that's what we've been hearing in these lessons, is that it all belongs to God. We're accountable. We're going to have to give an answer for what we do with our financial things. John, 1 John 3:17 tells us that as stewards, we have accountability. Part of that accountability is that if we have goods or we have an abundance of financial help, and somebody has a need, we're to help that other brother. He says, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So money here, we're to use, not only are we stewards of God's money, we're to share that things with other people who don't have. That's one of the reasons it says that we're able to work. We're not to be selfish with those things that God has given us because we are stewards of it. And he will use it to bless other people. All right, the next area that I want to talk about is our desires and thoughts and how that we're to have self-discipline in those areas. And the first thought I have about our thoughts and desires, now I hope I say this in the right way, but our minds, we have to constantly retrain our minds. Because if you're like me, I was saved when I was 21 or 22. And some of you were saved later in life or maybe earlier. But we grow up, we're in the world, we're first of all, we're born sinners. We're born with a tendency to be selfish, as I said earlier. We're, the world all around us operates that way. So our thinking, when we resort to the flesh and allow the flesh to work, we want to tend to do things according to the flesh. In other words, the very thought that we have, if we're not careful, are contrary to what God's word says. Because over the years, we've been influenced by the world and influenced by our past, all the thoughts that we had and the way we dealt with things, all that has to be replaced or changed because we're now in Christ. And the flesh we're going to see in a minute, we're to recognize it as being crucified or dead. And we're to live for Christ. And so we don't want to resort back to the flesh where we operate under the same principles that we did before we were saved. And a good example of that is if you will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Second Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think I used this verse last time I spoke. But casting down imaginations, that means human reasoning. In other words, that's what we're talking about. That's, we have to destroy that or tear it down. In other words, that's a constant battle can be in our life if we allow the flesh to control us. We use human reasoning in solving problems rather than the Word of God in dealing with things. Human reason. Then it says every high thing. That's pride. Human pride. That's two of the biggest problems in a person's life is pride and human reasoning. Keep him away from God's word. It'll destroy him. And that's what it says. Everything that exalteth, high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. They're contrary to the word of God. He says, and we're to bring into captivity, to capture those thoughts, every one of them, into the obedience or the will of Christ. Bring them through. We look at them as through the will of Christ, not in the will of our desire. Just like Christ said, not my will, but thy will. That's the way we're to look at things. But we have to use self-discipline in doing this, because the very things, this human reason and human pride, are attacking us and a problem in our life if we're not careful. So that's why we need this self-discipline. Then in 1 Corinthians 9:27, we see Paul brings it out a different way. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Keep under my body. He keeps it under subjection. In other words, he's careful as he preaches the word of God. He says that he keeps his body in subjection, in flesh, that he doesn't allow sin in his life or anything that would be dishonoring to the Lord, because he doesn't want to be disqualified. He says disqualified for the reward. It's just like in verses before this, he's talking about a race where those who are racing, they have to abide by the rules. If they don't, they're disqualified. So it's very important in our life as our testimony that as we go through life is that we discipline ourselves in our outward actions and our thoughts so that we don't dishonor Christ and that we don't bring dishonor to his name and we're disqualified. We have to play by the rules. Then number two, under our desires and thoughts, in Colossians 3:2, he says we're to think about heavenly things. Our mind is to be focused on heavenly things, not on earthly. This is an area that we all have problem with because we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but we're constantly bombarded with problems and things of this world. But he says to have your affection set on things above. Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Our affections, our love, should be on things above, things that are Christ-like, not on things that are temporarily here in this earth, because those things on this earth, for the most part, are going to be appealing to the flesh. We don't want to please the flesh, because the flesh will succumb to sin. Philippians 4:8, if you'll turn to that. Paul's going to tell us what to think on here again. In a little different aspect, and he's going to use his self as an example in the verse following in verse 4-9. So he's an example, but look at the qualities or characteristics that he says here that we're to be thinking on, traits. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are all Christ-like characteristics. And Paul's going to say, just as you've seen in me. Hopefully people can look at us and say the same thing in our life. So we're examples, but our thoughts are to be on heavenly things, on good things, things that are pure, honest, not on corrupt things of the world. So if our mind... what we think is what we're gonna do, in essence. And so if our thought pattern is thinking about worldly things, that's the way we're gonna act. So we want our thought pattern to be in the right area, and that is on thoughts of heavenly things, on things pertaining to Christ. Number three under desires and thoughts is that we've got to constantly realize that our flesh is the enemy. that the flesh is an enemy. Even though we're saved, we're new creatures in Christ, we still have this flesh. The flesh is capable of sinning. So it's a constant battle. Paul mentions it, and we're going to read that in these following verses in Romans chapter 7, if you want to turn there, 18 through 25. Is the flesh is our enemy. We got to realize that. If we let our guard down, we don't realize that, then we're going to be controlled. We can be controlled by the flesh, and we'll be controlled by the Spirit, so that we serve the law of God and not the law of sin. Romans 7, 18 through 25 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." See, Paul mentioned in the flesh, our old nature, if you want to call it that, is there's no good thing in it. "For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." We all been through this. We go through this. We have a desire to please God. We have a desire to do what's right, but sometimes we do what's wrong. It's hard to do. We flip flop. Paul's going to talk about that because the flesh. "For the good that I would do, that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." He says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." We can all say that as believers. Our desire, inward desire, is to please God and to do His will. But the flesh's desire is the exact opposite. And so that's a constant battle that we have to be aware of. He says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So he says, in the mind, my desire is to please the Lord and to serve Him, but in the flesh, the law of sin. If we operate in the flesh, we're going to always operate under the law of sin. The flesh cannot please God. It says that there's no good thing about the flesh. It cannot please God. So the flesh is our enemy, and we have to discipline ourselves and know that so that we do not allow the flesh to overcome in our life. Number four under desire is that we have to remember to mortify or crucify the flesh. We have to realize and put it to death so that it has no more control or power over us. We only do that through the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify therefore your members." Put them to death. In other words, count them as dead. The acts. These are acts. These are not talking about necessarily the body itself, but it's the acts of the body, sin, that we would do from the members of our body. He says to put them to death, count them dead. Don't let them control us. Don't allow them to work. Then in Galatians 5:24, he says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." So we're to crucify the flesh. That means to put it to death. Not allow it to rear its head, or not to allow it to come alive or to influence our life. And we're going to look at that just a little in a few minutes a little closer. Luke 9:23 and 9:24. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Luke 9:23 and 24. It says, "If any man will come after, let him deny himself." Refuse to recognize self. That's what we have to do. We have to realize that we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And our flesh wants to serve us. It has a desire to please ourselves. We're to please the Lord. And so we have to constantly be aware of this and to put that flesh to death. And then we accept the responsibilities. When it says, take up his cross daily and follow me, we accept the responsibilities and sufferings in being a disciple. And we know that's true also. All right, now in our actions, got a few more verses. Our lifestyle and actions should not stumble others. It's very important in our life that we discipline our own selves, because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:12, says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or for my good. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He's not talking about, when he says all, he's not talking about sin, but he's talking about other things, things that are legitimate. There are things that a Christian can do that's absolutely nothing wrong with. But it might not be the best for you. It's just like I was talking about a while ago. You can spend too much time on the internet. You can spend too much time in sports, whatever it might be. They're all good. There's nothing wrong in themselves. But it says, I will not be brought under the power of any. If we allow whatever it is to control our life and we spend all the time doing that, it can become a sin in our life and a hindrance to our service for the Lord. And it can affect other people, stumble other people. So we don't have a license to sin. We have liberty in Christ, but not license to do anything we please. We must still think, is this the best thing for me? It may be okay, but could I be doing something else that would be better? Would another choice be a better choice? Then in Romans 14:21, we're told that if meat or drink offends a brother, or anything, he's talking about anything, but he uses meat and drink, then he would avoid those things rather than stumble that brother. So I might think it's all right to eat pork or eat some meat or drink something that you might not. If I know it, you're weaker in the faith and it's going to stumble you. I should have self-discipline enough to abstain from whatever it is so that I don't offend you or don't cause you to doubt or to affect your faith. So that's an area that's not natural for us. We want to do what we want to do. We don't care. I've heard people say, well, it's my life and I'll do what I want to do. But we affect other people's lives, whether we think so or not. People are looking at us. We're examples. And we're examples for Christ. And so what we do and how we act is very important. And that goes under, like I said, self-discipline, something we have to be constantly aware of. Then victory over sin. How do we get victory over sin? And that's in Romans 6:9-13. Interactions. And I'm not saying we don't ever sin. I'm not saying we're sinless, but to overcome sin, as I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit has to give us enablement to do so. And then we have to yield to that Spirit. And that is what he's going to tell us here. In Romans 6:9-13, you'll see the word know, I think, three times in these verses. Know, it means to have knowledge. In other words, recognize what the Word of God says and believe it. He says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So he's saying here, look at your scripture, look at fact. Christ was raised from the dead, he dieth no more, death has no more dominion. He overcome the power of sin and death. So he says, that's a fact. So realize that. It says he died unto sin once. If you notice back in, I think, Romans 3, he says died for our sins. That was substitution. Here's identification. He said he died unto sin. We were dead in sins, but we're to be dead to sins as believers. And that's what he's going to tell us in verse 11. So we're to know, we're to take the Word of God, a fact that's been given to us in the Word of God, that when he died unto sin once. Then we're to reckon or put to our account, impute He says, ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says the same thing about us. We're to count it because in essence we died when Christ died. We rose when Christ arose. We the power of sin has been removed from us, if you want, is the way to put it. The penalty of sin has been dealt with, the power of sin. So he says here that just like Christ, we've been raised or we've been made alive unto God. Now we can serve God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're to put that into practice. And then he goes a little further in verse 13. He uses the word yield. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, we serve sin, and the things that we did with our bodies and our flesh were the results of sin. They were unrighteous. But now he says that we're alive to God. The things we do now should be pleasing to God, and they should be used as instruments of righteousness. And so he said here, know, reckon, and yield. In other words, your mind, your heart, and your will. All of them are involved. So we need to constantly remember what Christ did. We died when Christ died, rose from the dead when he rose from the dead. Sin has no more dominion over us because Christ overcame sin and death, and we're in Christ. So he says, live that way. That's a fact. Now let your life live up to that. And then now the last thing I want to look at, the challenge in Romans 12:1. We hear this one, this verse a lot, but it says a lot. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Notice he says a living and holy sacrifice. He asked some to die for him. Some people have died for him, a few, but he's asked all of us to live for him. He says, so present your bodies. And we do that by that self-denial, self-discipline. He says to holy sacrifice. In other words, don't allow the flesh to work in our life. Render it or consider it dead, just as it has been. It's been put to death. Don't allow the flesh to rear up and cause us to fall into sin. He says, a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here again, that renewing of your mind. That's what we're constantly doing, renewing our mind. Because we're bombarded constantly with thoughts that don't pertain to Christ, that the world is constantly bombarded with its view, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So that's our challenge. Self-discipline, all areas of life. If the Word of God is how we use that, we take what God's Word says, our lives are to be in conformity to the Word of God, and we're to not allow the flesh. We're constantly reminded the flesh is the enemy, and we don't want to yield to the flesh, our instruments, or our body, to sin, but to the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and the Word tonight. We pray that what's been said has been clear enough. I know that I've had a little difficulty with putting things together, but I just pray that what's been said, especially the scripture that's been read, we know that the power is in the Word of God, and we just pray that the scriptures read has touched hearts tonight, and we've realized that self-discipline in our life is important, because there's Satan would have us to waste time, money, our thoughts would be drawn away from our purpose in life, and serving Christ, and our actions, that he might ruin our testimony, that he might make us unfit or not play by the rules where we're not accepted or not, we don't receive the reward.
We just thank you again for this time. We pray for each one's here as we go our separate ways and bless the word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.